Jesus is suffering in today's gospel, and he's suffering because he has compassion. We heard that he compared himself to a mother hen trying to, quote, gather her brood under her wings. Plain and simple mothering, protection. Jesus is worried, he's hurting, because he is seriously concerned for the people he cares about, the people he serves. Barbara Brown Taylor, Episcopal priest, once wrote, quote, if you have ever loved someone you could not protect, then you understand the depth of Jesus' lament. My wife and I were at dinner with friends on Thursday evening when the news broke about the mosque killings in Christchurch, New Zealand. We were talking at that very table about New Zealand because my wife and daughter had just been there weeks before, talking about the kind people in that place, talking about the police who don't carry weapons, the learned respect for the Maori native peoples, and then the shocking news read on someone's phone about the alleged white supremacist from another country traveling to New Zealand in order to kill Muslims from other countries because they were Muslim, because they were immigrants. An act of evil, hatred, and a sick, demented, cowardly fear. So we lament this racist hatred and violence. It is eerily similar to the lamentations of Jesus in today's gospel when he is lamenting Jerusalem for killing people speaking truth. We just have to exchange the city's names, the city named after Jesus. Christ Church, I have so often desired to gather you together, to protect you. In the gospel today, some good Pharisees actually warn Jesus to go away because Herod is trying to kill him. Jesus is seen as a threat, like the peaceful Muslims in Christ Church. And what does Jesus say in return? He says, go and tell that fox, that cunning, conniving king, that I am releasing people from their burdens. I am releasing people from their demons. I am healing people, and I will continue to do so. And when I leave this place, I will do so in Jerusalem. Now, I'm 100% certain that when Jesus uses the term fox 2,000 years ago, it's not a reference to an American TV channel news. But he was trying to discern truth. And he was trying to speak prophetically, which means speaking truth to the powers that be and clarifying what is truly important and meaningful and just. And the threat of suffering and death did not stop him. Did not stop him from proclaiming good news, binding news, gathering news, unifying holy news, that is mercy and compassion and hence love for those who are hurting. even those who are different, especially those, if we follow Jesus, especially those who are different from us. Franciscan priest and writer Richard Rohr, the vestry, the board, is reading one of his books. And on Tuesday night, Tom Schnaubelt shared a devotion from that book. I'd like to read you a quote, because Richard Rohr often buoys and protects my own personal faith. Quote, "Two universal and prime paths of transformation have been available to every human being God has created since Adam and Eve and the Stone Age. Great love and great suffering." End quote. So love and suffering are these spiritual teachers that we all have, that we all experience with both head and heart. We long for love. Love is the most meaningful thing in our lives. And we hopefully reflect and give back the love that we receive. Yet in doing so, we can't avoid suffering. In fact, we suffer because we love, because we care, like a mother. And there is chaos, there is evil, there is mortality in this world. But think of the people you love and the people who love you. Challenge, loss, pain are a part of our loving, giving and receiving love. And it takes our will to continue to love in the midst of suffering, a self-giving love. There is sacrifice in that, a sacrificial giving love. Think of parenting. Think of our relationships. Think of marriage. In fact, Rohr defines suffering itself as this simple definition: whenever you are not in control. Therefore, love entails surrendering our ego, that is, our self-only interests. And Jesus embodied this self-emptying, this self-giving love. Rohr says it's not surprising that the Christian icon of redemption is a man offering love from a crucified position. Love and suffering for Christians, therefore, offer all of us various responses. Two responses, Rohr summarizes, as people aspiring to love in a world of suffering. The first response is to allow suffering to make our hearts brittle and bitter, hard. And the second is to allow suffering to make our hearts soft when they're broken, to open up. In the first case, allowing brokenness to make us brittle and bitter, if we can't transform pain into something else, then we will transmit that pain to others, even the next generation. And in the second case, if we're open and surrendering to the inevitability of pain, but knowing that love is still present, we can soften. Sometimes we have no choice, admittedly, because we have nothing left to lose, but we can soften. In other words, we can fall into the hands of divine grace, a mothering love. For Rohr, this is the very meaning of deliver us from evil that Jesus teaches in the Lord's Prayer. That is, it's not a prayer to avoid suffering. That's impossible with love. But rather a prayer that when the trial comes, to have the strength to not become hard-hearted, brittle, blaming others, judging others, humiliating others, hurting others. Think of Jesus and Herod here. Who has the brittle heart in the face of fear? Who has the open heart? Who is transmitting pain? And who is transforming it? Another example, today is St. Paddy's Day. Some of you are wearing green. But if we get beyond the legend and the myth of St. Patrick, the shamrocks, the sweet taste of Guinness. I know that description is debatable. We get to a harsh history and a dark reality about Patrick. The real story, the truth. It's like the movie I'm presenting, the Irish movie after church today at the Forum, Calvary. It's about real pain and suffering. The abuse by clergy, the anger. So there's a dark truth to the story of St. Patrick, and quickly, to remind you, remember St. Patrick was not born in Ireland, he was born where? In Britain, in England. And he grew up, his father was a Roman official and also a Christian, like a deacon in the church, so he was a nominal Christian. And he is kidnapped as an adolescent, the age of some of our beautiful young guests today, kidnapped from his home, taken over the sea, and sold into slavery, serving a master as a shepherd for years. And we have historical documents from Patrick, and he writes in the confession about being a slave. He says, "After I came to Ireland and so tended sheep every day, I often prayed in the daytime, up to 100 prayers, and at night nearly as many. And I stayed in the forest and on the mountains, and before daylight I used to be roused to prayer in snow and in frost and rain, and I felt no harm, nor was there any inclination to take things easily in me, because as I see now, the Spirit seethed in me." The Spirit seethed in me. How would you weather kidnapping, separation, slavery? So he was converted by suffering. He did not allow his heart, however, to get brittle and hard. Instead, it softened. It softened. Somehow he knew enough, his family had given him enough, that he knew his heart could be softened. In the midst of this suffering and his prayer, he knew God was with him. And eventually, after 6 years, he escapes and he finds his way home across the sea. And what happens there? He has a dream. And like Abraham, the dream is both challenging and promising. And the dream is out of his own liberty to go back to Ireland and preach the message of mercy and compassion and regard and respect and freedom. And so he does that, and that's how he becomes the bishop in Ireland that he became, because he returned to that place of pain and suffering. It was an amazing story. He comes to the realization that he's called to speak to the faith that he has experienced. Mercy, liberation, healing, redemption. And there's a historical record of him writing a letter to soldiers who serve under a Welsh chieftain, Caratacus, and they're raiding Ireland and making people slaves, some people who Patrick has just baptized, in retaliation for some pirates raiding their country. This retaliation continues, and St. Patrick writes a letter to the soldiers and laments the tragedy. And he says, "Perhaps you do not believe that we have received one and the same baptism, or have one and the same God as Father." And so Patrick, once a slave, now a bishop, prophetically speaks the truth, risking a backlash himself. He had death threats. But the people who were freed will remember, and hopefully they'll remember that freedom and stop the vicious cycle of violence, to know mercy and to live it out. And we're called to the same, friends. We're called to do the same, to live that same mercy bravely, with strength. So last week I subscribed to a new website for Episcopal Campus Ministry at Stanford, and I had to check the box that said I wasn't a robot. Right next to the box it said, "Confirm humanity." What is it to be truly human for us as followers of Christ? It is to be transformed. It is to be strengthened through both suffering and by love, to be true, to have a true identity, and to know that Christ is with us and within us. The new scandal about college admissions, bribery, lies, is about true identity, sadly, telling of so many sins of confusion as to one's identity. Privilege at the expense of others, greed for gain, for success, prestige, pride. Obviously, it's a criminal charge to break the law in terms of lying, falsehood, and bribery, but it's a moral failure, as we know, by the parents. How can a young person learn a healthy humility if they are saved from failure, if they are saved from the truth of who they are, or disappointment, the reality of being human? Friends, we're called to our true identity, to know who we are, to know whose we are, and to know that we're called to liberation and compassion and justice. So I want to remind you the hymn that we're going to end today's service with, one of my favorites, St. Patrick's Breastplate, right? It's that strong hymn about that protection, the armor. I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity by invocation of the same, just by saying God's name, the three in one and one in three. It's about a relationship of love. So that's a reminder for us in our prayer, in our singing, as we sing with our bodies, that Christ is within, Christ is before, behind. Christ is surrounding us and giving us strength. So we are called to speak truth to the powers that be in the name of love, in the name of mercy. We are called to minister to those who are hurting, even the stranger, especially the stranger. May it be so in any way that we can. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.